And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show is my good friend John Ferry up there in Jacksonville with Sports Now. Talk about what happened to the Jaguars on Sunday. It was not good. John, how you doing today?
Well, I'd like to say I'm doing great, Mark. Always a pleasure to be on your show, but it's been a giant hangover since Sunday. I'm still in a state of shock, and so is Duval County in northeast Florida, that the Jacksonville Jaguars will not be in the NFL playoffs, a season that had so much promise. On December 4th, the Jaguars were 8-3 and playing for the number one seed in the AFC. On January 9th, they're home for the winter, the spring, and the foreseeable future. It's really unreal the way this thing unraveled so fast, losing five of their last six. Compounding that was the defensive staff being let go yesterday around 6 o'clock. Mike Caldwell and all his staff has been let go. And I got to imagine there might be a few more changes in the Jaguar organization. It's going to be, as Trevor Lawrence stated after the game, a long, long off season with a lot of questions and not too many answers right now.
So the defensive coordinator is the fall guy for this failure. Is that correct?
It appears so. And honestly, I don't think he should be. Not to say the defense wasn't bad. They were. They were awful on Sunday. They were awful down the stretch. But this was a culminative thing. The offense wasn't very good either. And the reason I don't necessarily think it was Mike Caldwell's fault to be the fall guy is because in the off season, Mark, I came on your show, I stated this on my show, and this isn't breaking news. There was concern the Jags didn't have enough playmakers on the defensive side of the ball, yet Trent Baalke, the general manager, never addressed that in free agency, NFL draft, or trade deadline. So there's got to be a scapegoat. Mike Caldwell appears to be the guy with the defensive staff, but I'm not so sure that's the target that should have been. But it appears that's where they are right now. I think Trent Baalke will be retained, the general manager, because that's a Shad Khan decision, not a Doug Peterson decision. If it were me, I would move on from Trent Baalke. I just don't think there was enough talent on the defensive side of the ball, but it runs deeper than that. The play calling, I thought, was questionable during the year. Doug Peterson gave that up. Depress Taylor appears he's going to keep his job as offensive coordinator. So, again, just a lot of questions and a lot of disappointment and kind of a state of shock right now in Duval County, as I led with.
Was there optimism Sunday morning going into that game?
There was. I think it was false optimism. Just coming off the 26-0 shutout to the Carolina Panthers the week before. But Carolina was the worst team in the league. They finished 2-15. So I think there was some false optimism, but I think the hope was the Jags could rekindle the fire that had led them to an 8-3 start and that they could get in the tournament, win the division, and then go from there and maybe win a couple of games. So, but I think the problems that had happened during the four-game losing streak prior to the Panther game all came back up on Sunday. Trevor Lawrence didn't look like he did earlier in the year, had two interceptions, was missing guys that were open. The fourth down and short yardage offense was non-existent. They could not punch the ball in from 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 when they were down 28-20 in the fourth quarter. And the defense, as I touched on, the lead, a lot of missed tackles. I think Derrick Henry is still running. Derrick Henry had over 150 yards on Sunday. And this is a guy who the Titans are talking about letting go. His contract's up. He just turned 30 years old. And he hadn't had the kind of year that he's had in prior seasons. So just a lot of problems that had been occurring during that four-game losing streak all came back up again on Sunday, and the offensive line. That's something the Jags are going to have to touch on in the offseason, that not enough protection for Trevor Lawrence or whomever would be playing quarterback. So a lot of issues that caused this collapse came right back up square in the Jaguars' face this past Sunday in Nashville.
You know, it's not just what happened on Sunday. And you came on all season with me, and I appreciate that, John Ferry. It's like every time there was a big game this season, they didn't show up. It wasn't even a four-quarter game. Kansas City, San Francisco, Cincinnati with their backup. I just go on and on and on. This was a failure all season. That's what's so shocking about this. They never showed up when they needed to. Do you feel that way, John?
Well, they definitely didn't show up when the lights were the brightest. You're absolutely right. And you mentioned the game, San Francisco, Kansas City. I'll throw Baltimore in that group as well, Cincinnati on Monday night. The reason I thought this one was even more of a gut punch, though, you're playing a team that was 5-11 this past Sunday. Now they're 6-11, the Tennessee Titans, who basically had nothing to play for. They're going to be going through a rebuild. So you would think the Jaguars would have been able to handle that, win the division, and then see what happens in the playoffs, but they were not. And that's why I think this one is even more disappointing, Mark, than the games you mentioned, because it had been made quite clear the Jags are not part of the elite in the league because of the games you just laid out. They never showed up. But against other teams they had, teams that were viewed as maybe their equal or maybe less than them, but that was not the case this past Sunday. And to pour salt in the wound, it was against the Tennessee Titans, who are the Jaguars' biggest rival, and they've been the nemesis of this franchise for decades, and to have it be them that put that dagger in to eliminate you from the playoffs, that really leaves a bitter taste in your mouth in this offseason moving forward.
Well, it's karma. Tennessee got back at you from last year, because last year they choked. You caught them, the Jaguars, and you made the playoffs in Week 18. Well, karma came back and bit the Jaguars in the butt. Sorry, John, that's what happened on Sunday.
It did, no doubt about it. The only difference was in that game last year, both teams were fighting for a chance to go to the playoffs. The Titans would have gotten in if they had won last year. This year, like I had stated, the Titans just really didn't have anything to play for other than eliminating the Jags, which was more than enough, obviously, and hats off to them. But, yeah, no doubt there was some karma, and it bit us you-know-where, as you stated. And moving forward, there's a lot more questions than answers right now for this franchise. It's going to be a very interesting offseason, and I think there's going to be some more changes even beyond the defensive staff being let go in the months to follow.
All right, I'm going to follow it up with John Ferry, and I always appreciate coming on. Here's some more facts, and this is what's really, really hard to swallow right now. The better team won the AFC South, the Texans, and they're a more exciting team. Their quarterback's more exciting. They're the better team. They went out and won football games. They won. If Jacksonville would have somehow slipped into the playoffs, they would have been embarrassed in the playoffs. And I really believe that. Like, the better team made the playoffs. And then the second part, and I want your take, next year, the Jaguars are not favored to win this division. No way. I think Houston, Indianapolis, I don't think the Jaguars are favored next year. What is your thoughts on that then?
I'll start with the last point. You're absolutely correct, Mark. They will not be the favorites in the offseason going in next year. This year, the premise was both the Colts and Texans had rookie quarterbacks. They were rebuilding. Mm-hmm. The Jags had that phenomenal run late last year, won that playoff game against the Chargers. It'll be a totally different narrative this offseason. The Jaguars collapsed. DJ Stroud appears to be the best quarterback in the division, no question about it right now. And the Texans will be favorite to win the division. The Colts and Jags could be, depending on what you read, the Colts might be favorite. The Jags might be to be second. But I think the Texans going into C.J. Stroud's second year, head and shoulders, are going to be the favorite to win this division next year, no doubt. And I think that's what makes this more disappointing. Doug Peterson touched on this in his end-of-year press conference yesterday. You only have a window for so long, meaning this was an opportunity the Jags let get away. You're not going to be 8-3 in many NFL seasons going into Week 12. You're not. And with the premise that the Texans and Colts were both in a rebuild. This should have been the Jaguars' year. They should have at least won the division, and I'll go a step further, made a run at the AFC Championship game, and that's what I thought they were going to do back in August and September. So that's why this makes this very hard to accept. And who knows if the Jags get that opportunity again in the years to come. You want to believe they will, but like I just said, you don't get to 8-3 very often in the NFL.
Are you going to give your quarterback a big contract, Trevor Lawrence, or are you going to wait till next offseason?
If it's up to me, I would wait, and I think they're going to wait. I think eventually he is going to get the contract, though, even though he's been a takeaway or a turnover machine, unfortunately. But I still think they're going to stay with Trevor Lawrence for the foreseeable future. But they've got 2 years before they have to give him the big contract. He's still under his rookie contract. It'd be the fourth year of that in the 2024 season. And they can franchise tag him for the fifth year. And I'll be honest, unless he was lights out next year, meaning we're talking about close to 30 touchdown passes and maybe 10 interceptions, I'd be resistant to give him that big contract. I think I'd keep him where he is contractually right now and try to build around him, specifically the offensive line, because they're going to have to go out in free agency and build up both line of scrimmages. This team needs to be more physical. That, to me, was the biggest problem of everything, Mark. They just weren't physical enough all year. They couldn't provide enough holes for Travis Etienne to run through. The running game was basically non-existent towards the end of the year. And then on the defensive side, a team that looked promising early on started giving up runs left and right. I talked about what Derrick Henry did, and they've got to bring in another pass rusher. They've got to give Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker some help. And my final reason for not giving Trevor the big-time contract this offseason, they're going to have to give Josh Allen, who set a single-season franchise record with 17.5 sacks this year, the contract, because his contract is up. And there's no way they can let him walk out the door. He was the Jaguars' MVP this season. There's no question. So I don't think Trevor gets the contract this offseason.
Here's the update with Adam Schefter. Tennessee Titans have fired head football coach Mike Vrabel after 6 seasons. Never. After he beats the Jaguars, then he gets fired. Okay.
Well, I knew the rumors were Mike Vrabel was going to move on, though I didn't think it was going to be a firing. I thought it might be a mutual, separation of the ways. But regardless, that is surprising to me anyway.
It is. Yeah, I'm with you 100%, by the way. I'm holding off on Trevor Lawrence. I had super high expectations for him. I thought he'd take the leap to the next level this year, and I just didn't see it. What about you?
Oh, there's no way he took the lead. Yeah, I didn't see it either. Now, I think injuries played a role in this the last month of the year. Not to give Trevor an excuse, he still should have been better, but he played with so many different injuries. He had a knee, he had an ankle, he had a concussion, he had the AC sprain joint on his shoulder, and he wasn't able to practice during game weeks the last month, basically. Having said that, I think it's kind of like a Tua situation in Miami. If you remember, the Dolphins did not give Tua the contract. They kind of treated it the same way. I think that's what the Jaguar management's going to do here. I don't see any way you can give him, Mark. I don't even know what it would be, but it would be probably $40-50 million guaranteed. I mean, what these franchise quarterbacks are getting now, and then a 6-7 year deal. There's no way the Jags can do that at this point. You've got to hold off at least for one more year. And like I said, they could hold off for two more. It would not surprise me if he doesn't get that contract till after the 25 season.
All right. Here was the season. It came down to those two plays where you're in the red zone late in the game and you're down a touchdown and a two-pointer. Third down play, he scrambles to his right, And I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know who he's throwing to. He throws it away. That was a disaster. And then explain to me fourth down where Ryan Green, one of our colleagues, he said this, where the offensive line didn't know the play and he tried to jump and scramble to the end zone. What was that? That sums up the season.
Well, Trevor called an audible. That's not the play that came in from the sideline. And that's why I think there was confusion from the offensive line. Trevor decided he was going to take it upon himself to try to stretch the ball across the goal line. And obviously, in the post game, he said he wished he had not done that, and that would be a learning lesson. But that's a heck of a time to take that upon yourself. The third down call, to me, was the one that really messed that sequence up, though. You drafted Tank Bigsby in the third round this past April. You're at the one-yard line, third and goal. I think you've got to give him the ball at least on one of those downs, Mark, and they never did, because what was the purpose of bringing him in if you're not going to allow him to do what he was brought in for? Because he was brought in for the short yardage situations, and I was telling somebody after the game, speaking of Derrick Henry, who is a free agent, if I'm the Jags, he's from this area, he went to Yulee High School, I might try to bring him in for short yardage situations, because the Jags were awful on short yardage all year. Not just those two plays against Tennessee, but all year they had those issues. And you've got to have a running back that when it's fourth and short or third and short, he can move the pile. Now, the offensive line plays a role in that too, but Trevor took that upon himself on that fourth down call, getting back to that. So that is why there was confusion with Luke Fortner, the center, Brandon Sheriff, the right guard, who are two guys I think need to go, by the way. Speaking of that offensive line, we'll see. But that's why there was confusion on that getting back to Sunday.
You have 9 months to talk about this till we play again. We can have a baby, John, in that time. 9 months. Are you ready for this?
I'll tell you, it's very depressing to think about that, Mark, and for the fan base up here, just because of all the expectations and what could have been. But that is the reality, and it will be talked about for 9 months ad nauseum in Duval, St. Johns County, and Northeast Florida. There's no doubt about it. Be interested when March rolls around, free agency, what the Jags decide to do there. And then, of course, April 25th is the draft, but I'll just conclude with where we started on this with Trevor Lawrence's own words. It's going to be a long, long off season. There's no other way to put it. I would say this was the worst regular season loss in franchise history, and this is a franchise that's playing for 29 seasons. They've had worse losses in the postseason, but not in the regular season. This is a game that really is inexcusable. The Jags had to take care of business and get it done, and they just didn't play well enough in any facet of the game to do it on Sunday.
But you said it earlier, John Ferry. They haven't shown up since the beginning of December. They had one win against Carolina. I think high school teams could beat Carolina at this point. Like, this is ridiculous. They didn't show up all throughout the holidays, the whole month, December. All right, let's go to your picks before we really start getting angry here. Let's do this. Are you ready for this? Your wild card picks.
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I have to start with this. Browns at Texans. Who you got?
That is the toughest game for me to pick this weekend. I'm going with the Browns. I could see that going either way. I know the Texans have home field. C.J. Stroud's been awfully good, but he's still a rookie, and this is his first postseason game. I like the Browns' defense to be the difference. They are an elite defense with Myles Garrett. I think they're going to force a turnover somewhere that decides the game, and I'm going to take the Browns in a very close one by a field goal, Mark.
Saturday night, Dolphins at Chiefs.
I have to go with the Chiefs. Despite their struggles this year, I'm hearing it's going to be like around 10 degrees out in Kansas City on Saturday night.
Saturday night in January. Yeah.
And I'll tell you something, the Dolphins are probably second, maybe the Eagles, to the Jags as far as late season collapses. the Eagles and Dolphins both got in. So the Jags are clearly ahead of both of them. But the Dolphins a couple of weeks ago, just like the Jags, were talking about a one seed. They're not even playing at home. They didn't even win the division. They haven't won the AFC East since 2008. So I think there's a little residue and a disappointing hangover for them. So I'm going with Kansas City on Saturday.
All right. Early game Sunday, Steelers and Bills. And by the way, Vegas has Buffalo as a 10-point favorite right now.
I agree with Vegas. I think Buffalo covers. I think they're going to win. I think I like the momentum they have. They had to win their last five games to win the division. They were 6-6 at one point. They are the opposite of the Jags. They started out slow, and they did what the Jags did a year ago. They went on a roll at the best time of year in November and December. I think Pittsburgh's been a phenomenal story. Mike Tomlin is one heck of a coach with what he's got on offense and a quarterback up there, but I think this is the end of the road. I'm going with the Bills in Buffalo at home Sunday.
I bet you 50 million people are going to watch this. Packers at Cowboys on Sunday. Who you got?
I'm going with the Cowboys. They're 8-0 at home this season. I think they've got a 16-game home winning streak. They're just a different team when they play at home than away from Texas Stadium. So I like the Cowboys at home. The Packers have been a nice story. I like what Jordan Love's doing, but I think this is going to be too much for them this Sunday.
Would you bet on this game, though?
After what I've seen in Duval County, I wouldn't bet on any of these games. After what we've experienced here.
I agree with you. Rams at Lions Sunday night.
I think this might be the best game of the weekend. What a couple of storylines. You brought this up when I was on your show a couple of weeks ago. Matthew Stafford going back to Detroit, where he played for years and they could not win a playoff game, against the Lions, who have a home playoff game for the first time in 30 years. This is going to be a heck of a storyline. I'm going with the Lions in a close one. I mean, a real close one, but that's a nervous pick. I wouldn't bet anything on this game. This could go either way, and I think either one of these teams could wind up in the Super Bowl. I really do. So, but I'm going to take the Lions at home in a close one.
I like what you say about Detroit, and you're right. It's been 30 years since a home playoff game. It's like my Orlando Magic, where in a decade, I think they've had two home playoff games at the Kia Center, whatever
wow.
It's called. It's wild. They haven't won a playoff series since Dwight Howard. Yeah, this is getting depressing. Let's move on. All right. Eagles and Buccaneers. See, this is my game where I would not bet on this, because I don't know about either team. How about you?
I don't either. The Eagles have been in a slide that mirrors what the Jaguars went through, except they had more wins early on in the year to cover that. They limped into the playoffs. They looked awful against the New York Giants last Sunday. Tampa Bay won 9-0 over a Carolina team. The Jaguars beat 26-0 the week before. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I have no confidence in the pick, but I just think the Eagles, with Jalen Hurts and the talent they've got, are going to find some way to pull this game out. I don't think they're going to go beyond this game, whoever they face the following week, but I just don't think Tampa's going to beat them on Monday night. And, you know, if I'm Tampa, by the way, maybe they like the Monday night playoff games. This is the second year in a row they drew the Monday night in the wild card weekend. If you remember, the Cowboys played them last year and sent Tom Brady into retirement. So it's kind of funny how Tampa Bay gets the Monday night game on wild card weekend again. But I'm going to take the Eagles in a close one.
Let's end with this here at John Ferry, and I appreciate you coming on. Did you watch the game last night?
I did. I was impressed with Michigan. The national championship was won in Pasadena the week before when they beat Alabama in overtime. I know there are a lot of questions about the cheating scandal, the sign-stealing scandal they had. That aside, they look like the best team. And I think Jim Harbaugh is probably going to be the L.A. Chargers head coach by the end of this week, by the way. We'll see. But hats off to what those kids had to deal with. All the other stuff aside, the kids that played for that team this year had to deal with all the social media. Jim Harbaugh was suspended 6 games this season, and yet they found a way to win every single time. So I give it to Michigan, and they dominated that fourth quarter last night. And they came up big in the playoffs in the fourth quarter because, if you remember the Alabama game, they had to go 75 yards to send that game into overtime with under 4 minutes to go. If they don't do that, they're not even playing last night against Washington. So I give it up for the Michigan Wolverines. First time since 1997, they are national champions today.
John Ferry, you're a national champion. You are. And I love, you're so angry. Everything relates to the Jaguars failing. That was your whole conversation today. Just fantastic. Hey, come back on. We have to talk Gators basketball moving forward. All right? We need to do that.
We will. That was a disappointment on Saturday against Kentucky. Speaking of that, that's a game they should have won, but
yeah, we can
definitely looking forward to the rest of the year on that.
We can break down our failed dating lives as well if you want. We can just make this all pain and misery moving forward.
I don't think I have enough medication to go into that, Mark, but yeah, it's been a lot of pain and misery for Duval County right now.
John, have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Mark, even during hard times for the Jags, it's always great to be on your show, my man. I appreciate it, and all your listeners out there.